Violette is shaken awake. Tante Marguerite's wild-eyed face inches from hers.
Réveille-toi!
Disoriented, Violette feels a stab of panic. Did Tante discover what Violette did last night?
Why so early?
Violette asks her aunt, keeping her voice as innocent as possible.
For once in your 18 years, why obey? Says Tante. Beck!
Tante Marguerite hurries to wake Violette's 8-year-old brother, Dicky. With a sinking feeling, Violette realizes the day she's been dreading has come. She and her little brother are being sent back to London. The siblings have been staying in France with their mother's sister to give Maman space to mourn their littlest brother, Harry, who died last year from diphtheria. Violette and the rest of her family had grieved Harry hard and fast, but even after months passed, Maman could barely tread water. In spite of war making fire of the French horizon, Violette has no desire to return to London. France is her mother's home and Violette's dearest love. She's spent every summer of her life here and half her school years and knows it's where she belongs.
I don't want to go, she says.
Ignoring her, Tante tells Dicky to dress at once. Violette is about to argue, but the look of sheer terror on Tante's face silences Violette. Her aunt is not one for hysterics. Violette looks out the window and sees a flurry of motion on the street. Refugees pass, with trunks and valises and frightened children loaded on carts and on goats' backs and whatever else they could find. A distant rumble calls Violette to action. She throws back her sheet and pulls their suitcases from the closet. She stuffs her clothing, toiletries, and magazines into one. As she heads for Dickie's drawers to pack his suitcase, Tante grabs Violette's arm.
Une valise? And your passports, hurry!
Violette rolls her eyes but obeys, putting her and Dickie's necessities into one suitcase and dressing as quickly as possible. While Tante leaves them and bangs around the kitchen, muttering about someone getting into the cupboard, Violette sneaks out of the house and to the shed. She pulls open the door and looks for her pilot, but he's gone. She'd think she'd dreamt him if it weren't for the heart he drew for her on the dirt floor. Last night, Violette had snuck out for a midnight bicycle ride when she'd stumbled across a Belgian pilot sleeping along a ravine. She'd poked him awake, scaring him half to death, and once he calmed, he explained he'd been shot down and lost his crew. He was trying to make his way to Spain so he could get to London and back in the air fighting Nazis. Violette had set him up in Tante's garden shed with a blanket, half a loaf of bread, directions south, and prayers for his safe travels. Violette touches her chest and sighs. Resolved, she hurries back to the house. Once she escorts Dicky safely back to London and places him in her mother's arms, Violette will find a way back to France to do whatever she can to fight the Nazis. If Violette stares at the gulls gliding overhead, she can remove herself from the chaos. She imagines looking down on the dock at Calais from a great height, from heaven. Does it look like a pretty, breezy day? A single ship remaining on the quay? A line of merry travelers waiting to board? She thinks, is this how it looks to God? Is that why he doesn't help? Dickie's sweating hand jerks Violette back to where they stand among a mass of weary, frantic travelers. He sobs so hard he shudders for breath. He's been crying since they dragged him from the house and pushed him on the crowded train. They had to walk the last kilometer of the journey because the tracks were blown out by the Luftwaffe. A terrible growling sound starts. Violette again lifts her eyes to the sky. These are not gulls coming in, but Heinkel bombers, flying so low she can see the pilots. As soon as they're overhead, the shooting begins. Great splashes erupt from the water, coming closer and closer, until the first blast hits the crowd along the dock. Luggage and limbs erupt in a red spray of fire and blood. Violette watches in shock, and her gaze finds a little girl of no more than 5 lying in the sand, whose dead, glassy stare matches that of the dolly in her arms.